This is a CKTZ News Update. I'm Kim Pauley. Fall salmon returns are in. CKTZ spoke with two stream keepers, Janet Gemmel of Courtney, president of Morrison Creek Stream Keepers, and Christine Robinson, a stream keeper with Friends of Cortez Island. What can you tell us about the salmon runs in the Comox Valley this year, Jan?
Well, this year is a tremendous run for pink salmon. Now, pink salmon on this part of the coast, the odd years are normally strong years, but this year seems to be quite an exceptionally strong year. Morrison always has good runs of salmon. I think what's notable in the Comox Valley is that some creeks that barely ever had pink salmon are now getting returns of pink salmon. So that's really good news for pink salmon. The other runs of salmon, chum, unfortunately, which in previous years were enormously strong runs, have really declined. The last really strong run we had in Morrison, I believe, was 2016 for chum. And this year, the chum run is so low that they've had to close the commercial fishery and close the recreational fishery. So unfortunately, the returns of chum are not that great.
And that lines up with the chum run on Cortez this fall. According to Robinson, as of November 8th, only 10 chum in Basil Creek, 4 chum in Whaletown Creek, and 1 chum carcass in James Creek. A low possibility of a small chum run in the next week or so was noted.
For Chinook and Coho, a lot of which are actually hatchery produced, mixed returns depending on the system and the hatchery, but mixed, but not too bad. Particularly in the Punish River, Chinook returns are quite reasonable. It's a little early to say how good the Coho runs will be. Looks like we might get some, you know, decent runs of Coho. There are a lot of factors. That's really complicated what affects good years and bad years for each species in each part of the coast. You know, is it El Nino? Is it fish farms? Is it fishing? Is it habitat? There is a great foundation called the Pacific Salmon Foundation. They do a lot of science. I'd really recommend your listeners to check out their website because they explain a lot about the state of salmon and what's going on and all the research they're doing.
What's the quick website?
And it's just psf.ca.
That's excellent. Well, we understand from the Cortez stream keepers that pinks are showing up in streams on Cortez after an 8-year absence. And why now?
Well, that's the exact complicated question that a lot of fishery scientists would love to have answers to. And they do everything from taking seawater temperatures to sending big ships out into the middle of the North Pacific to do samples of salmon and check feed, and they count fish and they raise in river to find out what's happening with juvenile salmon. And I know in the Comox Valley, they're counting seals to find out about seal predation. I know that Alexandra Morton, who is attributing the strong pink runs, possibly, I'm sure she'll get some feedback on that, on the closure of the fish farms in the Broughton Archipelago.
Of course, when it is an exceptionally great run, that could feed into the fact that they might show up in places where they don't regularly show up.
Yes, and why they do that, considering they're showing up in creeks that they weren't even born. I always wonder, how do they know? Are they checking booking.com? I don't know. The Oyster River, that's a big salmon spawning river. And the other big rivers would be the Puntledge that runs right through Courtney. And the other two rivers that run right to the ocean will be the Sable River and the Trent River. And then there's 10 streams that run straight into the ocean. So Morrison Creek runs into the Puntledge, and it is a very significant tributary of the Puntledge River. It sustains really good salmon runs.
So that brings me to my next question. What's so special about Morrison Creek, and where does it get its reliable, cool, clean, year-round steady flow from?
Well, Morrison Creek is spring-fed. So unlike, like, say, Rosewell Creek, Now Creek, even some of the rivers which get snow melt, Morrison Creek is spring-fed. It's low elevation. It's a short creek. And it flows through forest land as well as the rural and urban areas of Courtney. And streams that flow from the mountains can often suffer the effects of logging on the steeper slopes. And this tends to make their flows what we call flashy. They're lower during the rearing season and higher during the winter when strong flows can wash out all the salmon eggs. So this steady, cool water that comes from springs makes Morrison Creek very productive, because in the summer, like last summer when so many creeks were dry, Morrison was chugging away and supporting spawning. So it supports good runs of pinks, chinook, chum, coho, and even the incidental sockeye, as well as cutthroat trout, rainbow trout, and Dolly Varden. And one thing that's really lucky is this area where the springs are that feed a whole bunch of wetlands and tributaries was owned by one forest company, and the Comox Valley Land Trust, in partnership with BC Parks Foundation, managed to buy 273 hectares of what we call the Morrison Creek headwaters and this whole area of wetlands and tributaries and put it under conservation. And this is something that the Morrison Creek stream keepers, particularly my late partner, Jim Palmer, ardently advocated for the conservation of the headwaters for two decades. And one of the things that's kind of special about Morrison Creek is it has its own weird lamprey, a population of the common non-parasitic freshwater western brook lamprey. So Morrison Creek lamprey is kind of a scientific curiosity because there's two separate life histories. And to say it's like evolution caught with its pants down, it was just changing. So it's a weird little creature. Well, Jim and I lived in Carrington Bay in the 80s in a little house on pilings that later became our float house. And I recall one fall in Carrington picking up a stranded chum just inside the entrance to Carrington Lagoon. And I was so surprised when eggs tumbled out as I placed it back in the water. So I think there was a natural chum run that went into what we called Spruce Creek, where grandmother's grove is. Never saw many salmon, though, so I'm not sure if the run kept going. And I recall on Cortez at the time, there was some salmon enhancement effort. And I think there was a salmon egg incubation box in Whaletown Creek. I'm not sure what species. There was a little hatchery in Whaletown School. And I think fry were released in Larson's Meadow that feeds Hanson's Creek. So at that time, I didn't know that much about salmon.
Unlike now.
Yes, unlike now.
So in July of this past summer, 2023, you made a return to Carrington Bay.
Yeah, so last summer I went for a walk to Carrington Bay with George Sirk. When we walked and crossed the creek in Grandmother's Grove, I did what I knew Jim would do anytime we walked along a creek, and that is look for fish. And we discovered you could use binoculars to spy on little fish if you could not get up close. And the little fish that are most visible, are, if they are present, are coho fry. And when I looked in that little creek in Grandmother's Grove, at the bridge, just upstream from the lagoon, I spotted two little fish with the telltale orange on their tails and a black stripe and white stripe on their dorsal fin and par marks. So I thought, those are coho fry. The definitive marking for a coho fry is a sickle-shaped anal fin with a white stripe. I could not see that, but pretty sure those were coho fry. Unlikely to be chinook, pink, or chum. And I tell you, Jim would have been thrilled to see those little fry.
According to Robinson, 55,000 chum eggs came from SLAM and First Nation in December 2021 and were dispersed between Basil and Whaletown Creeks and the Cahoose Hatchery. About this many chum eggs have been received each December for 4 to 5 years. This program is scheduled to continue this year. The switch from hatchery coho to hatchery chum eggs happened about 2017 on Cortez. Robinson says chum are rugged survivors, and they leave their creek shortly after hatching. Coho fry, however, stay for a year, and with low water levels, it is increasingly stressful for coho fry to find enough water until they swim to the sea. It was great that Jan identified two coho fry this summer, Robinson continued, as we didn't get there this year, but this is what we would expect. And though they are hard to see when spawning, we have accounts from people who have seen them there. Is there anything else you'd like to add, Jan?
I think land conservation is extremely important. Like for the little creek that runs through Grandmother's Grove, I noticed it was running last summer when we were there. So it has a good source of water from the wetlands. So if any of the area in there can be protected, that is really important.
Kim Pauley, CKTZ News, Cortez Island. CKTZ News is brought to you by the Local Journalism Initiative, the program funded by Heritage Canada and administered through the Community Radio Fund of Canada.